But in Philippians chapter 4, it tells us how to conquer. Brother Lee, it tells us three things that we can do to conquer our fear, anxiety, and fret. And by the way, I'm giving you what God gave me this week because I needed it. And I feel like, man, if it helps me, it's surely going to help our church. So look at it with me, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 4. I'm just going to give an invitation here in just a few minutes, but I want you to stay with me real quick. The Bible says this. Boy, I love this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I believe there's three areas where we as Christians let the devil use fret, fear, worry, anxiety to battle us. The reason we can't get victory over some things is because we're constantly afraid, constantly living in fear, constantly letting the attacks of the enemy dictate what we are in Christ. Three things the Lord showed me this week, and I'm just going to echo what we've been talking about all week. I believe in order to have the victory over anxiety and fear, we first must be have a mastery of a life of prayer. Now, I know I preached on that last Sunday morning. I taught on that this past Wednesday night, and we prayed together. Very sweet time. We prayed all week, but I want to echo this again today. If you're going to conquer fear, doubt, depression, anxiety, you must have a prayer life. Not maybe, you must have a prayer life. Because look at it, in verse 6 it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. In everything by prayer. That does not give me any room to not pray for some things. Hey, we ought to pray for everything. See, if Miss Cindy came in today or this week and said, preacher, I have breast cancer, we certainly would say, oh, we got to pray for that. That's a serious matter. But how about your matter this morning that you're maybe not telling everybody about because you think it's not that big of a deal to some other people? It's a big deal to me, but you know, everybody else may think it's not that big. It's a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God. Your rent payment is a big deal to God. Your mortgage payment is a big deal to God. Your marriage is a big deal. Your wayward child is a big deal. Oh, I just don't know if I just... It's a big deal. Why ain't we praying about it? He says, in everything but by prayer. But in everything by prayer and supplication. So there has to be the mastery of a life of prayer. There, the man that wrote this book, he was a psychiatrist in Australia, a Christian man, wrote a book on psychology and dealing with things. And somebody asked him one day in a little round table discussion of some other doctors, they were saying, how can you deal with depression, anxiety, and all this? Now, he wrote this book. He's a doctor. One doctor said, well, here's how I cope with anxiety and depression. He said, I go buy me a bottle of alcohol. I drink a lot of that away, and by the time I'm usually, it calms my nerves. That's what I do. The second guy says, you know what I do? I go on recreation events. I go fishing or hunting. And I like that second guy, Brother Chad. He's pretty good. Fishing, hunting. That ain't a bad idea. But the third guy, you know what, Dr. Hayden, he said this. He said, you know what I do? I retreat to my office and I pray. It's so simple, yet it'll blow your mind. That God wants to hear our prayers. Hey, do we have a prayer life? Two things that I want to give you this morning about this prayer life is we must have a relationship with God. You say, where do you get that? Well, notice what he says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known unto God. So there must be a relationship with God. You say, well, how do I get to God? You have to go through Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So some of you are wanting to bypass Jesus to get to God. My friend, you cannot get to God except through the Son, through the blood. So some of you in here today, you're lost. You're trying to call out to the Father. He's not your Father because you're not saved. Hey, let me just tell you, friend, there's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Boy, you can't get any better than that. If you don't know Christ as your Savior and you are lost today, I beg with you, I plead with you, we've prayed for you. Please, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Please don't put it off. The second thing I see today is not only the relationship to God, but the second thing is a reliance on God. The reliance on God. Look at verse number 6 again. It says, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With what? Thanksgiving. So there's not only, listen, in everything by prayer and supplication through Christ. So we have that relationship. We're supposed to have a reliance on God. The mastery of prayer involves a childlike trust in the Heavenly Father who knows. Hey, you know, I'm thinking about this this morning. You know, children, we often see children praying. And sometimes we look at that and say, isn't that cute? Isn't that sweet? But wouldn't you like to have a faith like some of these children have faith? I have a friend. Her name's Libby Stuffel. Libby Stuffel is the singer with the Perrys. I don't know if many of you know who the Perrys are, but Libby lost her husband last year, and I've known Libby for probably 20 years now, and her family, and I love them very dearly. Tracy was a good man. Libby lost her husband, had a severe stroke, and then other things started happening in his body, and he passed away last year. Libby shared this last night, I believe it was on social media. And she said that she was at the National Quartet Convention and all these people are coming. And she had just lost her husband. Her husband was inducted into the Hall of Fame of gospel singing. And she said people came by, thousands of people came by to talk to Libby. And she said you should have heard some of the things people thinks comforting. She said it was a disaster. People don't know how to, you know, the main thing to do is when you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Because sometimes it might have sounded good in your mind, but it didn't come out very good. And she said, you know, people just say things they don't even realize. She said, I was kind of feeling like, man, I just want to go back to my bus and put my pajamas on and go to bed. It's been a long day. She said, all of a sudden, a little girl came by and had a little journal in her hand. A little 8 or 9 year old girl. And the little girl looked at her and said, Miss Libby, I got a question. And she said, what, sweetie? And she said, honestly, I really didn't want to talk to anybody else. But she said, what is it, honey? And the little girl said, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And Libby said, I sat down on that bench right there. And she said, I began to weep because this little girl believed God. She was writing stuff down in a journal that she could pray for a woman, hey, that had needs. Can I tell you, that's the kind of faith I'm talking about this morning. Hey, the faith that we, childlike faith, a reliance on God, but a relationship with God. So there has to be a relationship with God. The second thing is there ought to be a therapy of a life of peace. Can I ask you a question this morning, church? Do you have peace this morning? If you're not saved and don't know Christ as Savior, how in the world can you have peace? You can't. True peace is through the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if you want to know peace, you have to know the Prince of Peace. Jesus. You have to know Jesus. That word keep there is one of the strongest words in all of your New Testament. It describes a garrison of soldiers. He'll keep you. He'll guard it. Not with one, but with a whole army. I love that. Hey, listen, He's going to keep you. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Anxiety, for the most part, is created by fears and frets and frustrations that assail us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know what the peace of God does? It stabilizes your hearts. Notice what it says. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. I think about the words about this heart stabilization. The old hymn writer said, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain, needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." You know what that does? Stabilizes the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? The reason why people are so angry today is because there's anger in the heart. The reason why people are so vile today, and I don't recommend you ever really turn the news on and leave it on the news. Because, man, in the last week or two, it's been, brother, I mean, it's been all kind. No matter what side of the fence you're falling on this, it's not good. Man, it's not good what they're doing to people. And I'll tell you, you know where that comes from? It comes from an evil heart. The Bible says all of our hearts are evil, but can I tell you what stabilizes the heart? The peace of God. I have the peace of God that I'm in the will of God. I have the peace of God that I'm saved. I have the peace of God that I married the person that God wanted me to marry. I'm pastoring the church that God wants me to pastor. Hey, there's peace. Brother Lee, do you have peace this morning? Yeah. Brother Linwood, you got peace this morning. Jesse, you got peace this morning. I desire that our church has peace. Man. You sit there and toss and turn in your bed all night and you lay in there wondering. You know what? It stabilizes the heart. Guess what else the peace of God does? It tranquilizes the mind. You say, what do you mean? Well, look what it says in verse 7. It shall keep your hearts and minds. So if you got a thinking problem, guess what? Here it is. Your thinking's all messed up. You ever heard anybody say that before? Boy, your thinking's all messed up. Man, you just got to get... I'm not trying to preach to you something about a positive of the seven principles of power of positive thinking or something like that. Norman Vincent Peale, I'm not trying to do that to you this morning. I'm telling you what the Bible says. If your thinking's messed up, get your thinking right. When you don't have peace, guess what you turn to? Everything but the Prince of Peace. The reason why a lot of people turn to drugs and alcohol is because they don't have peace. The reason why people turn to pornography is because they don't have peace. The reason why people turn to all kinds of heinous crimes and vile things is because they don't have peace. I'm talking about good people, but their mind is messed up. The Prince of Peace can heal that. Hey, depression's a real thing, isn't it? Mental illness is a real thing. All these things are real. People's minds need help. I'll tell you what can help your mind this morning is the Prince of Peace. Peace, he said, that passeth all understanding. The last thing, and I'm going to give the invitation, there must be a victory of a life of praise. I love this. Look at your Bible. It says this. I love it. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Notice these two words. With thanksgiving. Notice this. With thanksgiving. There must be, church, listen, these next two or three minutes, there must be a life of thanksgiving. Now, here's the deal. Often we're so thankful when good stuff happens. Oh, I got a new car this week. Man, I'm so thankful. Hashtag thankful. Hashtag, you know, I got to keep up with everything. Hashtag thankful. Oh, I'm so, man, I made a good score this week, or good reports, or man, I had a great semester, or I did this, I accomplished this. Thankful. Can I ask you this? How about if it didn't go your way? Here's what Paul is saying. Paul's saying, how about you give thanks before it ever happens? So, Lord, I want you to bless my marriage. It's on life support, but God, I'm going to go ahead and thank you for what you're going to do. If the marriage works out, I'm thankful. If it blows to smithereens, I'm thankful. That's a hard prayer to pray. It's right there in your Bible. In everything, give thanks. He says, listen, do you believe in a sovereign God this morning? Do you believe that God knows before the foundation of the world what your problem and your answer is going to be? Well, if he does, then why do you think why do you pray like it's a surprise to God? Why wouldn't we just go ahead and start praying and just thanking God for the outcome? I mean, just thank Him. God, I know You're God, and I'm just gonna go ahead and thank You for the fire that took place at our church. Now, that's crazy. Preacher, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. You're thanking God for the fire? Well, don't you think God knew that was going to happen? Oh, yeah. Last Sunday, I was pretty bummed about the air conditioning. I mean, everything else, and all of a sudden, the air conditioning. And we're trying to have baby dedication. I see everybody fanning. I'm like, Lord, it's 100 degrees outside. And I'm just kind of bummed about it. And then I get the report that preacher is probably going to be a total replacement. I'm like, oh. Man, I was just walking around thinking, man, what in the world? And just you know, we were going to pray that week, and we prayed. And man, I thank God for Brother Raymond. And he kind of diagnosed it and had it. Guy come in on Monday, and the guy said, you know what, Brother Dirk helped last Sunday too, and just kind of finding the problem where the hole was. You can't even see it with your eye. These little holes. It was leaking Freon. It was a mess. These are older air conditioning. Everything, you know, so you got to, often it just makes it more complicated. And these are commercial air conditioners, so they're even more complicated, more expensive. I'm thinking $14,000, $15,000, kind of like what we did this last time. Never even got to use it. I'm still kind of bitter about that. And, you know, I'm just kind of thinking about all these things. And the Lord just reminded me, son, you're supposed to thank me for this stuff. I'm teaching you something. It's exactly what I've been going through the school of. And I'm telling you, I'm a hard-headed person because I keep saying, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm teaching you something. Shut up. That's exactly what He's doing, teaching me something. You know what He's doing? He's reminding me that this is not my church, it's His church. And I ought to be thankful no matter what. Man, I tell you, Monday that guy came around and he said, you know what, I believe I can fix this thing. And he did, thank the Lord. He fixed it, saved us a lot of money, a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble. About an hour and a half, he was done. And I was thanking God, and I felt foolish for my doubt, my unbelief, hey, my bickering, my complaining. And guess what God reminded me is I ought to be thankful, because the only thing that you and I deserve is hell. Man, anything above that's a blessing. Thank God for this. It's a trustfulness of God, the thankfulness to God. We ought to just be thankful. Church, are you thankful? Are you in the storm? Are you in the storm this morning? Do you need God to do something? He wants to. Reminds me of that story about them sailors that was in that submarine. They were doing a little drill off the coast of Delaware and that area up north. And they were on a four-day to submerge themselves 4 days under the ocean. And just doing some tests and things. And so during them 4 days, a bad storm came off the Atlantic. Bad storm. And they came back to shore, and that submarine came back up. All those men came off that submarine. And they asked the captain of that submarine, they said, hey, what'd you think about that storm? And that captain said, what storm? Storm that came through here, it was bad. He said, it didn't affect us. Because they were what they call in the bottom of the ocean, there's a little comfort, I guess a little comfort nest, if you will, in the bottom of that ocean where even no matter what, a hurricane, doesn't matter, it does not affect the bottom. I was just thinking about what A.T. Pearson said about the grace of God and the love of God going deep, where the outside distractions, they fail to bother us because we're engulfed in the grace of God and the peace of God. Doesn't matter what's going on outside, everything's all right inside. No matter what's going on outside the church, everything's all right inside the church. Hey, I'd rather be in here this morning than out there, because everything's all right. You sing that song in junior church, everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. We probably need to sing that on Sunday morning every now and then. Everything's all right because of the peace of God. It does something to your heart. You got anxiety this morning? You got fear this morning? You're lost this morning? You're searching this morning? You need help this morning? Hey, you've come to the right place. Oh, not me, not the church, Jesus. Jesus.